Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Welcome to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone. I hope you are enjoying your weekend. It's weekend at the time that we're doing this show, and it's nice and hot and sunny. And you know how I am about spring and summer. I love those two seasons of the year. So I am totally in my element here. Totally in my element. Listen, if you are in your element when it comes to professional car racing, we have got a guest for you for this show, especially if you love also ESPN's award-winning documentary series, 30 for 30. That is truly, I'm a really big documentary fan, and so this series is just one of my all-time favorites. So they are going to have a new documentary called Qualified that will be airing May 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern, of course, on ESPN. Qualified dives into the story, the life story and career of Janet Guthrie, the first woman to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. She was also the first woman to qualify and compete in both the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500. And this was during the 1970s. Of course, that was at a time when, you know, it was pretty much forget about it for women to be competing in professional car racing. Come on, that just didn't happen. It was totally a man's world. So we can only imagine the scrutiny and what Ms. Guthrie encountered. Oh my goodness. I mean, what? Make sure you tune in. Again, it's May 28th, 8 p.m. And just look at some of the headlines of sports writers and magazines and what have you. Oh my God. But yeah, she's a tough lady. Yeah, she's talented. She was strong and, you know, had a thick skin and she could drive a car, you know? So, for the film Qualified, the filmmakers had unprecedented access to various local television coverage, different network broadcasts, rarely seen promotional films, home movies, and from pictures from Janet's private collection and other film collections as well. And what is really cool about it is that we, the viewers, get an inside glimpse into the wildly colorful and often violently dangerous world back then during the 70s of auto racing. Yeah, it's fun, but it's still, yeah, you're still running around a race car track 500 times at, what, 3 million miles an hour, however many minutes it speed limit it is. But this is the thing that I also like about this film, Qualified. It has commentary and interviews from back in the day, some of sports' leading contemporary sports announcers and sports reporters, such as the late, great Jim McKay, Jackie Stewart. Of course, he was a legendary race car driver himself. And the man himself, Howard Cosell. Yes, Howard Cosell. And if you're too young to know who Howard Cosell is, I'm so sorry that you don't. But look him up. He's a legend. I grew up, you know, as a kid, but I remember my parents just loved Howard Cosell. Monday Night Football, Howard Cosell, yes. Anyway, these various interviews give us eyewitness accounts and just of what it was like during that time in that era of auto racing, because they were there. They were there. It's a lot of famous names that are interviewed for this film, and I think you will love it. Plus, members of Janet Guthrie's own race car crew and some of her competitors, their crew, such as A.J. Foyt, Johnny Rutherford. These guys are household names during that era of race car driving, and so you get to see them. What the people, speaking further of A.J. Foyt, when Janet Guthrie was, again, she's the first woman professional car racer in that era, and one of her allies was the great A.J. Foyt, and you will see more about that. I don't want to give away too much, but I'm going to ask her about that when we bring her online here. Plus, there's footage of her sharing her own in-depth, candid, and very, very revealing, you know, and she's very transparent in the film about her thoughts and what was going on in her mind and in her head at the time of all of this. And so I really think that you will love it, especially if you are a fan of her professional car racing. And if you're not a fan of professional car racing, just watch it anyway, especially if you just like documentaries. I must admit, I am not that versed in the world of professional car racing. But it was still, it's a very informative and quite entertaining film. It gives you a glimpse as to what was going on during that era and time. And maybe this, you know, especially if your daughters or nieces or maybe you yourself, you might want to be the next Janet Guthrie, Danica Patrick of this era. And look at this film. It'll really inspire you. So I have been given a signal that Janet Guthrie is online here. So we're going to bring her on board and give a chat and talk to her to find out more about her upcoming film, Qualified, that will be seen May 28th on ESPN's award-winning 30 for 30 series, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So let's bring her on right now.
Hi, Janice.
Hi,
Janice.
Hi,
Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm just anxious to talk with Ms. Guthrie here. It's such an honor, and I'm ready to, my engines are ready and ready to start going here.
Well, that is great. I have her with me here, so I'd like to introduce you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Guthrie. Again, what an honor it is to speak with you. I feel so special and privileged.
Oh, well, thank you. Does that mean you've seen the film?
I have, and I have just so much to ask you. I don't want to, of course, give away too much, and I want to remind everyone that this film will be debuting May 28th on ESPN's wonderful documentary series that I just love so much, 30 for 30. Title, again, is Qualified. And you were more than qualified to do what made you a household name in the race car world. You just did so many firsts, the first woman to qualify and compete in both the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500. So now this film, Qualified, without, of course, giving away too much, what are some things that we can expect to see?
Well, they did a very thorough job beginning actually with my flying when I was quite young, going on through the years of sports car racing, the Daytona 24-Hour International Manufacturers Championship race, the Sebring 12-Hour race where I won my class a couple of times. And then, of course, when I got the chance of a lifetime, when I was contacted by an Indianapolis team owner to see if I wanted to take a shot at the Indianapolis 500, which I must say was a great surprise.
Oh, I'm sure. How could it? I mean, at that time, that was probably the most unique and surprising phone call anyone could ever have. I mean, did you at first think that this may have been, was this real, or what did you think instantly?
Oh, I definitely wondered whether it was real, because a couple of women drivers had gotten egg on their faces by announcing they were going to drive at Indianapolis, and then nothing ever came of it. So actually, my answering machine picked up the call, and before I returned it, I was living in New York then, and the call came from Oregon. Before I returned it the next morning, I called Chris Economake, who used to be the editor of Speed Sport News, and you would see him on camera at Indianapolis a lot. So I knew Chris, and I called him up, and I said, who is Rolla Volstead? And Chris filled me in on his background and assured me that he was real. And so I returned the call, and away we went.
And so when you really got into the nuts and bolts of everything and said, okay, yeah, this is real, this is going to happen, what kind of reaction was it among your close family and close friends? Did they say, Jenna, are you sure? Do you want to do this? I mean, what kind of response was that?
Well, I'm afraid my family were quite horrified. My friends were mostly in the sports car racing world, and they were like me. Any driver of that era would have given their eye teeth for a chance to attempt to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. So they were quite enthusiastic.
And so, obviously, you were originally an aerospace engineer. During those years, and when you were in high school and a girl, did you ever display or express an interest in car racing or what?
No, my first love was really flying. I soloed when I was 16, got a private license at 17. By the time I got out of college, I had a commercial pilot's license and a flight instructor's rating. But at that time, of course, women couldn't fly for the airlines. Women couldn't fly for the military. So I thought I would get a degree in aeronautical engineering. I ended up with a degree in physics, but was hired by Republic Aviation, who were just establishing an aerospace program to compete with Grumman in the race to the moon. So I did work in that industry for several years, and a very exciting time to be involved in it, too.
You have had such an exciting career, no matter what you touched. It just seems that you were either breaking records and then, you know, giving women, hope to break down some of these barriers and such. When you officially entered into the race car world, was there anyone there that kind of had, you know, that speech with you to be prepared? You may have to expect this and you may run into that. Was there anybody that you could turn to kind of prepare you on what you expect other than, you know, of course it's going to be a tough because there's racing, but anybody at all or what?
Let me divide that into two parts. Like most college graduates of that era, I started in the Sports Car Club of America. And there had always been women driving in the Sports Car Club of America. It simply wasn't a big deal, as I didn't expect it would be. It was an all-woman team, for example, in the Daytona 24-hour of 1966. And similarly, when we had a first-in-class at Sebring, in 1967 and 1970. So it just wasn't an issue. And on the other hand, when I got my chance at the top levels of the sport, I don't think anyone, not even the team owner, Rolla Volstead, certainly not I, expected the hullabaloo that followed. It was a major, major issue. The drivers and the fans were saying, women don't have the strength, women don't have the endurance, women don't have the emotional stability, women are going to endanger our lives. And, I thought that was funny, but every now and then it made me mad.
I would have still been angry. But one of the people that really did, of many, I'm sure, that came to, I won't say rescue, but was one of your allies, was the late, great A.J. Foyt. That was, I was really happy to see that and read about that, that he was there. Again, I'm sure with many others as well. So I saw some of the headlines, and they were brutal. Did they just, you know, did those headlines, did they strengthen you? Did they break you down and just want to cry? I know I would have been ready to cry and be a girl, but, I mean, what did that do to your morale?
Well, I just thought, you know, they don't know any better, but they'll learn better, and they did. Uh-huh. And it's true, A.J. Foyt, to my enormous astonishment, was the first major driver to take a look at what I was doing on the track in my first IndyCar race in Trenton, New Jersey, and say to the reporters that it looked all right to him. And you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was, in fact, very grateful for that.
And so after you started qualifying for different races and really, you know, again, breaking records and such, what was it like, the camaraderie, you know, being around all of these guys? I mean, did they ever just kind of totally accept you or what?
It came little by little. They needed to gain the experience of running against me on the racetrack. And when they understood that I could give them some good competition, that I had good manners on the racetrack, presently the situation got calmed down. It took most of a season in IndyCars. In NASCAR, it took more like a year.
Okay. Now, of course, this is a very competitive sport, obviously, but for you personally, being the first female to break different barriers and records, what was most challenging for you? Was it the actual racing itself, or was it just dealing with this whole gender, male versus female thing?
I'm afraid I didn't quite get the gist of that question. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. I was saying, what was of the two here? What was the most challenging for you? Was it the actual competition of car racing, which you know that's a challenge in itself, or was it the challenges that you had to face as being a female?
The answer to that one is very easy. The challenge of getting the most out of very sophisticated cars, the challenges lay on the racetrack, making sure that that car went as fast as it was capable of. The rest of it I regarded as just fluff and feathers. I mean, I figured whatever came with the territory I would deal with. As long as I got my hands on those race cars, that was what counted.
Do you still follow car racing, or have you moved on to some more challenges that you want to break some records, or what?
I no longer drive myself, of course, but I try to keep up with what the women are doing. There are some very good women drivers out there. Catherine Legg, Pippa Mann, who just qualified 30th at Indianapolis. If she had a good team and a full-time ride, Pippa Mann is a very, very capable driver, but it's nearly impossible to run up front when you only have one race a year with a team that you haven't worked with before. Let's see, Catherine Legg, Simona DiSilvestro, Haley Deegan is a very young woman who is just making her mark in stock cars. So there are women out there. It's just a question of who gets their hands on good equipment with a good team.
Well, of course, Danica Patrick has become, when she was competing, a household name among this generation. Did you, have you two ever met or talked over the years, or what?
We have met, yes. Danica is the only woman who has had her hands on good equipment and a full season of racing. And she turned out to be a good middle-of-the-pack driver. There were some things about her attitude that sort of rubbed the fur of women who preceded her in the sport the wrong way. But she did well for herself.
I would say so. She did. One final thing here. Something else that I thought was really cool is that your name is included in Super Sisters, the trading card set for car racing. What was that like for you when that happened?
Oh, that was the first ever set of trading cards put out for women athletes, and I was very pleased to be included. They gave me a whole sheet of the trading cards with all the women athletes on them, and it was quite a group.
Yes, I love trading cards. I'm just a personal fan of that kind of hobby collections there. So anyway, you also had a best-selling book about your life story, which seems to still be ever unfolding here. You got this film coming out again, May 28th, 30 for 30. And initially, this was in my last question, when you were first approached about doing qualified, did you immediately want to do it, or did you have some time to think about it, or what was your first reaction?
Well, the big thing in my life right now is to get my book back into print. The original publisher went out of business, and I very, very much want to see my book in Kindle and in paperback. Sports Illustrated called it an uplifting work that is one of the best books ever written about racing. And it was not ghostwritten, I did it myself, and I really, really want more people to read it. So I hope that this documentary will lead to another publisher for the book.
It should. And again, that book is Janet Guthrie, A Life at Full Throttle. And as we all know, it's something magical about being on national, international television that gets a lot of attention. So I bet you your phone will ring about getting that book out there again. So especially after
seeing
the film.
Thank you. I'm very easy to find on the internet. My website is just JanetGuthrie.com, and it's as easy as that.
Okay, so we have it right here. So anyway, Ms. Guthrie, I am just so honored again to have had the opportunity to chat with you, talking with a real sports legend here. And you are also, I want to add that you are listed, inducted, I should say, into the Hall of Fame for women in sports and athletes. And so I know that's another great honor for you. The International Women's Sports Hall of Fame, I get the title right there. And also into the International Motorsports Hall of Fame as well. So again, you are just such a living legend here, and thank you for this opportunity. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. I guess I should mention that I'm being inducted into the Automotive Hall of Fame in Detroit in July. Some really major figures in that one. It's a Hall of Fame that's almost as old as I am, which takes some doing, but I'm looking forward to that too.
Oh, well, I say congratulations early on that achievement as well. Just a lady of so many achievements, and so we should all aspire to be like you when we grow up with all of your accolades and success. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, we'll tune in on May 28th to see your film qualified on ESPN's 30 for 30. And, well, I've kind of cheated. I've already said it. But for other people who have not seen it. So, again, thank you. And we'll just continue to look for you in the news with all these accolades and such.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay, then bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, all right. That is, I just get so excited when I talk to real legends like this. Janet Guthrie, just breaking records, all kinds of barriers during her active years as a professional race car driver in Indy 500, also in the Daytona 500, two of the largest, oldest car professional car racing events in the world. So, the documentary, again, is 30 for 30. It's called Qualified. It will be debuting May 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And, you know, it's just a lot to see. We couldn't squeeze everything into this this interview. But, hey, you know, these interviews are to kind of whet your appetite and get you interested and want to go out and see it, if it's a film or some music or a film festival, and just kind of get you all buzzed up there. So my engines are all revved up. I can't wait to see it again. Yes, I saw it the first time because, you know, they send us a media link so that we can see these films in advance so that we can know what to ask our guest here. But I want to see it again. I want to see it on the regular television like everybody else is doing. It makes it a lot more fun. But again, if you would like to, and I'd like to say, again, congratulations to Ms. Guthrie for being inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame event that's coming up. I believe she said this coming Monday night, Monday afternoon, whenever it takes place. But if you would like to get more information about her amazing career, she has her own website, Janet, J-A-N-E-T, Guthrie, G-U-T-H-R-I-E.com, JanetGuthrie.com. And if you want to get any more information about Qualified, go to ESPN.com/mark3430. And four is the word for F-O-R. So that's ESPN.com. /mark30 And you can get more information about Qualified and any of the other documentaries that ESPN's 30 for 30 has done over the last few. And it's only been in existence. How long has the ESPN's 30 for 30 been going on? About 3 years or four? Not that long. I don't think it's, I know it's under 5 years. And they have really racked up some very impressive profiles of some of the world's most famous and decorated and sometimes controversial sports figures and sports topics that have made headlines in our generation and I'd say the 20th and 21st century. So go check them out, 30 for 30, and they always deliver. They always deliver. You know who I want to get on the show? The 30 for 30 announcer that goes, what if I told you, da-da-da-da-da, what if I told you, la-la-la-la. I want to get that guy, the what if I told you narrator, announcer for 30 for 30. We're going to work on that. I just want to know who this guy is. And now that phrase, what if I told you, is just kind of like a trademark for pop culture. Yeah. But anyway, once again, thank you to my guest, retired race car driver Janet Guthrie. And I get so excited when we have real legends on the show and I get to talk to them and meet them and such. So I'm really excited. Okay, let me calm down and get ready for other things. So we have even more shows that we're going to be bringing you. I should be telling you, but I always like to surprise the listeners who we're going to bring up. I can tell you this. We're going to have Jussie Smollett, not him, but we're going to have, you know, he comes from a large family. So we're going to have his two of his siblings on. Jazz and Jake Smollett will be our guests, and they have a new show on the Clio television network, and this show is about decorating and cooking. Yeah, it just came out. This fresh out of yesterday almost. But we're going to have them on very soon, so stay tuned for that. And you can get even more information about our show, as always, filmfestivalradio.com. Want to drop us a line? info@filmfestivalradio.com. Thank you, everybody, who listened to and commented about our recent interview with Kathy Lee Gifford. Yeah, she was so much fun to talk to. So anyway, we're out of here, and we'll see you on the next edition of Film Festival Radio. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.